children are not dolly, they are not toy. The Almighty God meant that children be had and be brought up in responsible environment involving mother and father. That's the way God intended, and from that we have better society, society that is more stable, society that is more disciplined, and a society from which those who are part of that society enjoy a greater stability. There were two lessons dealing with some of the ways in which children are not dolly, they are not toys. Then there was the lesson, one lesson dealing with how the Almighty God intends that the church and the Christian home work together. You notice I qualify the home, the Christian home, because the church cannot work together with any institution that does not show respect and regard for God's word. It is expected that the Christian home will do so. So, in the last lesson, we look on, I had in mind then to cover 5 to 6 areas in which the church and the home was meant by God to work together, the Christian home. In the last lesson, I think we look on 2 of those areas. One was the church gives life a goal, and that is a fact. It's not just the church, it's that when the church goes by God's word, the church places itself in a position to give meaning and goal to life if it follows God's word. And that's the way God meant for it to be. Why the church gives life a goal? Because the church keeps in focus, that is, those who occupy the home, and particularly those who are members of Christ's body, the church gives vision or a vision of life to come. You know, the Apostle Paul, and I intend to ask one of you to, but I'll read this, to read this for me. It's a passage we all know, but I'm going to undertake it from the Amplified. If we who are abiding in Christ, meaning if we who are faithful Christians have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all people most miserable and people to be pitied. What is the point? Christianity give hope of a life to come to those who are members. And hence, it gives life a goal. If only in this life, if all our hopes, our aspiration, our goals, our objective is tied only to here and now, my God, we end up being miserable people. There's nothing beyond this life to look for. So Christianity does give vision of the life to come. That was one of the things. The second point, look on, is that the church has a stabilizing and a unifying influence upon the home. In that lesson, we look at the negative influence of things like the radio, TV, and especially the internet, and how it has misguided many, and especially among our young people. Those are some of the things we look on in the lesson last week. Now we pick up on the third point as we examine how the Almighty God planned and purposed it that both the home, the Christian home, and the church work together to meet man's need. Be mindful that because of the way we are composed, because of the way the Almighty God put us together, human beings, differently from the way he put the lower animal together, we are composed of, we are built up as physical and spiritual being. So when Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, we were never meant in our creation and our composition. God never meant that all our satisfaction come from physical things. Simply because we are not only physical, we are spiritual. And God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. There is something in our composition that corresponds to the Almighty God. I have a lesson. Why the great fuss? What the great fuss about? And I travel from Old to New Testament, the Bible speaking about the soul. On one occasion, the Almighty God says, he that sheddeth man blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And it gives the reason. And the reason is because man has a soul. We are God's image. So, bread alone don't ever think that having a lot of money and a lot of secular power and a lot of house and land and a lot of education, that alone can meet your need. It cannot. You were never meant by God to be like that. You notice the lower animals, they are satisfied with their purely physical need being met, but not man. Lord, we were made for thee, and we are restless until we rest in thee. We are physical and we are spiritual. So, on the third point, remember the first 2 points? The church gives life a goal. That was 1. 2, the church has a stabilizing and a unifying effect on the home. That was 2. Now, the third point. The church furnishes parents with an absolute standard of right and wrong by which to guide and train our children. Brother Mitchell, an absolute standard as against what? As against the relative standard that the world furnishes. The world gives us a standard as if to say there's nothing absolute. You cannot know what is right unless you put it in a certain context or against certain thing. So at any time, what is right can be wrong, and what is wrong can be right. That's the standard that the world gives. Right now, there are many countries that if you preach, and an agent of the government, no, you preach that homosexuality is wrong, it is abnormal, it is fornication, and what, you will be arrested and put to jail. And I'm not talking about some far-fetched country. Place like Canada and other places, they call it hate crime. No, my God, the church has been preaching against fornication from its beginning. And civil authority, governmental authority, never interfere to say, well, no, you're not to preach that because it is hate crime. Now, so as to put lock on our mouth not to preach against homosexuality. Not only that it is fornication, but it is abnormality. They call it hate crime. My God, if I preach that the man is that the man steal, and that stealing is against God's will, and you will be punished by God. Preach that fornication is sinful, and you'll be punished by God. Homosexuality is sinful, and it is abnormal, and you'll be punished by God. That has nothing to do with my hating the person. I don't preach that because I hate the person. I care for and love the person and want to enlighten the person's mind so that the person can know what is wrong from right. But as I've said, if I go certain place and preach that, it is referred to as hate crime. And I can be arrested. What is the point? The church furnishes parents with an absolute standard of right and wrong, a standard by which parents can guide their children with something that is not relative. It stands alone as being so, which means it is absolute. It is not only right when you put it against this or that. It is right when it stands by itself. That rule or that moral principle, God's truth, our right and wrong principle doesn't have to be against something else that is relative to make it right or wrong. It is fixed and it is stable. Well, that's the best thing to have to guide your life. Not something that shifts today. Today it's wrong and tomorrow it's not wrong. It leaves people confused. You know, I like Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Because that is the path of the world. Let us hear it. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21.
Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Wait, hold it, brother. Bean, do you know that's the type of world in which we live now? I have just touched on a point of same-sex relationship, because when it is taught against as being wrong, and remember, same-sex relationship comes under fornication. Fornication is sexual relationship outside of the will of God. Any forms of sexual relationship that is contrary to God's will. That's fornication. Now, the passage that has just been read from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, woe unto them that call
evil good.
Evil good.
And good evil.
And good evil. Wait, that's a deterioration in man's moral standard. And when we look at the way the world in general, or most of the Western world that we call civilized and advanced country and first world country, that's the way they look on it. If you say that homosexuality, same-sex relationship, is wrong, they are saying you are calling something that is good evil. And that is not good. They turn it around. They are calling something that is evil and wrong and ungodly, they are calling it good. Read on, brother.
Who put darkness for light and light for darkness?
That's right. That's right. Who put darkness for light? They give you darkness. And they said, that is light. When in our moral standard, a person come and want to reason with you that every man has a right to relate sexually to any other person, be that person a man or a woman, that's his right. No, they are presenting darkness to you as light. So the church furnishes parents with an absolute standard of right and wrong by which children can be guided. The secular world gives a relative or a changing standard. So in almost every generation, there is a point when people become confused. The word of God is the only unchanging, authorized, or authoritative set of rules for living that the world has known. The world has not yet come up with a moral or ethical standard that is unchanging. For the world, things that were right 50 or 100 years ago probably is not wrong. And things that were wrong 50 or 100 years ago are not right. That's the world. That's the ways of the world. But that's not the ways of the Almighty God. Things that in God's sight was wrong 3,500 years ago, and I'm sort of going back 1,500 years before Christ. That's the time of Moses. 1,500 years before Christ. And had the 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has been here. That's some 3,500 years. Things that were wrong then, in God's standard, is still wrong today. That's right. But for the world, because the world moral and ethical standard is relative, it's always relate to the context and against other things, what society like, what society want, not God. Look at, as I've said, the Word of God is the only unchanging, it is the only fixed, it is the only authoritative set of rules for living that the world has ever known. It's only through God's revelation that we are introduced to what is genuinely true, what is genuinely good, what is genuinely right, and what is wrong, only in God's word. Look at the passage of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear it.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13.
And 14.
Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish.
Wait, take time, dear brother Bean. Who by constant use. That is when you continually use God's word. What happened?
Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Only by constant use are exposed to God's word will your mind and your standard be trained to know what is really good or right and what is wrong. To know good from evil. The word of God constantly being used. So again, the church furnishes parents with an absolute standard of right and wrong by which to guide and train children. Secondly, the church helps the family find suitable associates. We are on, remember what we are on, how God designed and meant and purposed and planned that the Christian home and the church work together, watch here, to meet man's spiritual and physical needs. The home meets non-physical needs primarily, but it also helps when it is a Christian home. It also helps to meet man's spiritual need when the home works with the church. So the second point I undertake tonight is the fact that the church helps the family find suitable associates. Is that important? Yes. A passage which most of us know. In fact, in one form or the other, I could almost everybody here has heard this echo in different form one time or the other. But we are coming up to that passage. As I've said, by nature, as human beings, we are what you call gregarious. By nature, human beings. And when you read in book on sociology or even biology, and you hear that human beings, we are gregarious, it means we seek friendship, companion, partners, associate among those who are like us. You see, even though for most of us we do not mind a little time of solitude where we are by ourselves to think and whatever, but as human beings, the Almighty God made us that we can't stay alone too long. Are we all there? We are gregarious. From this tendency of seeking, associate, complement, friendship, companionship with those who are like us, fellow human beings, from this tendency comes the influence of negative and hurtful experiences. As we human beings seek friendship, associate, companion, talking partners, those we can share our aspiration, our disappointment with, as we seek that, and by nature, as I've said, we are like that. You ever notice? It's not only unpleasant experience that we want to know there is a person in our corner we can share it with, but our pleasant experience. There are pleasant experiences we wish we could keep it by ourselves. We want to find somebody we can confide in. That's the way we are made. But because of that gregarious nature, with it comes negative and hurtful hurt. Because a lot of times we get into friendship, companionship, associates, and what that bring all sort of hurt and disappointment. So this is why the church is so important, because the church can help guide us in finding suitable associates. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33.
Be not deceived.
Don't fool yourself. Read that again, Brother B.
Be not deceived.
Self-deception is one of the worst deceptions because it's difficult to get around when you deceive yourself. And here the inspired writer said, don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself and don't permit anybody to deceive you. Paul, go on now.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Everybody hear that? Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? You want me to read it from the Amplified? Evil communication. But Brother Mitchell, communication means to talk. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, did I say 29?
33.
Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionship. Then in bracket, evil communion. Evil associates. So this does shine light on it. The King James says evil communication. Now that's right. But this expanded evil companionship, evil communion, evil associate, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. The church. In the church, we find people, are we all there? With similar goals. We find men and women in the church who share our goals, our standard, our conduct, our devotion to the Almighty God, our spiritual values. When you are a part of Christ's body, it's easier to find somebody with your higher standard and goal than when you are in the world. Evil friendship, evil associate, going to corrupt your thinking, your behavior, your outlook in the church. As I've said, the church helps the family to find suitable associates. Thank God for the church. And last but not least, the church brings hope in time of sickness, in time of sorrow, and even in time of death. The church brings hope in these times. May I? Sickness comes to every home, and oftentimes that sickness is prolonged. Sometimes that sickness that comes sometime or the other to the home that each of us come from, sometimes not only the sickness is prolonged, but many times it is fatal. Death comes from that sickness. And you see, I'm speaking of something here that you and I are well aware of. Sometimes a brother or a sister is ill and we just feel within another few days they'll be better. And that's the way it is and has been for so many. But there are others that we think the sickness is mild this or mild that, and a lot of time it brings death. Are we all there? Other times, the burden of sorrow and disappointment find ways into the family. When a person is a member of the body of Jesus Christ, you can usually find one or two or many persons to bring some support, some comfort to you. And the Almighty God meant that the church work like that. The Bible says that we should rejoice with those who rejoice, and we should mourn with those who mourn. So in closing, I repeat, and I take it backward. The church brings hope in time of sickness, in time of sorrow, in time of death. The church helps the family to find suitable associates. The church furnishes parents with an absolute standard of what is right and what is wrong. Not a relative or a changing standard like the world gives. The church has a stabilizing, a unifying effect or influence upon the whole. The church gives life a goal. It gives life a vision of the life to come. God planned it that the church and the Christian home work together to meet man physical and man's spiritual needs. Don't ever forget that the church was meant by God to work along with the whole. Hopefully there will be another lesson. If you are asking, Brother Mitchell, of the church and the home, which one is more important? One, both of them are important, but you know what? One of them takes precedence over the other. Probably there is a lesson where I'll deal with that. Thank you.